to the Connect Kindness podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast. In today's episode, we actually interviewed part of the team at Justice for Children.
Yes, this is a unique episode as we were able to not only interview Lisa McCosh, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Justice for Children, but also some of the child advocates, Lauren Perez, Angela Schumann, Gabby Griffin, and Tracy Suarez all joined us, and it's a fantastic interview. These women are standing up for abused children when their needs are lost in the justice system. So without further ado, this is our interview with the team over at Justice for Children.
Thank you for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast. I wanted to take some time for you guys to let us know a little bit more about Justice for Children and why it was founded.
I'm Lisa McCosh. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Justice for Children. Our agency founder and board president, Randy Burton, was a young prosecutor at the Harris County DA's office in the 1980s. There, he saw firsthand the results of leaving children with their abusive parents as part of the system's plan for the family. Besides the intimidation that led to the child's refusal to testify, he learned about their re-abuse and occasionally their death, and decided to act. Justice for Children was founded upon the belief that every child is entitled to a zealous advocate to fight for their safety. When the system fails to provide such advocacy, we will. Since 1987, Justice for Children has provided assistance to children and their protectors across the country.
I would love for you to share a stat, because I feel like people may not be aware of the magnitude of abuse that actually takes place.
I think a stat that best reflects why our agency exists is that for 2017, the Texas Department of Family Protective Services states that there were 82,206 allegations of abuse made to CPS, with 38,098, which represents 46% of the total allegations, referred to for investigations in Region 6. Region 6 covers Harris and surrounding counties. Of those, only 5,707 were opened for service. This represents 7% of the total allegations, and of those investigated, 15%. Removal of children accounted for 2,667, leaving 3,040 cases referred for other services.
Wow, that's mind-blowing. You know, what type of cases do you guys do?
Hello, my name is Angela, and I am a child advocate here at Justice for Children. Our cases are mostly instances where CPS and the courts have been unable to protect the child from the abuser. For an example, when CPS determines that the case is unsubstantiated, police determine there is no evidence of abuse. CPS determines that the case can be resolved in family court and does not provide services to assist in custody modifications. When evidence is being ignored or not introduced in family court, attorney, judges, and ad litems have relationships outside of the courtroom that sway the placement or visitation decision. Judges order the children to reunification therapy with the abuser at the expense of the relationship with the other parent. Protective parents either instinctively or are advised to keep the children from the abuser, violating the court order of visitation without an emergency protective order. Judges then routinely award custody to the abuser.
Thank you guys for what you do. You know, you guys are protecting our children. And I'm interested to know, how do you guys get your volunteers, specifically your lawyers? Because I know just doing my research that, you know, they're pro bono.
Hello, this is Tracy. I'm a child advocate with JFC as well. We find our pro bono attorneys in several ways. In Harris County, we post on Volunteer Match and Connect Kindness. We further contact Houston Volunteer Lawyers, Houston Young Lawyers, and Lone Star Legal Aid. We also provide presentations to law firms and have several board members that reach out to their associates on specific cases as well. Out of state, we have found several websites online that provide further resources for those clients. We're also working on a training program for attorneys in regards to child abuse cases that award CLEs in exchange for attendance and pro bono work. And we also take in law students as interns as well.
That's great that you have different types of streams coming in, because I know the diversity in the different cases that you guys have. So many people involved with your organization is only going to help it grow.
What are some of the signs of abuse that people can look for?
So my name is Lauren Perez. I'm also a child advocate. Verbal outcries of a child are important to heed and investigate. Depending on the type of abuse, there are several indicators to look for, whether it's neglect of the child, whether it's a physical abuse, sexual abuse, or emotional mistreatment. When we're talking about neglect of a child, there are certain things to look for, including excessive absences from school, a lack of resources for lunch, lack in medical care, if the child is consistently dirty, and if the child is indicating that there's no one watching him or her at home. In regards to physical abuse, there are things such as unexplained burns, bites, bruises, or broken, fractured bones. If a child seems frightened from a parent or doesn't want to go with the parent when it's time to leave school, if there are excessive absences from school or significant drop in grades, regression of life skills is another, as well as if a child abuses animals, pets, or other children. In cases of sexual abuse, the indicators that we look at are bedwetting or nightmares, having difficulty walking or sitting, changes in appetite and participation in gym or athletic activities, or if a child demonstrates unusual sexual knowledge or behavior, that child may also act out on other children. Also, if a child contracts an STD or becomes pregnant. In regards to emotional mistreatment, that may show up as an extreme in behavior. A child may not normally act out, but is now acting out. If the child does lack attachment to their parent, there are times when children don't show any kind of emotional connection to their parent, and that is also something that you want to look for. If a child has depression, or if you notice that the child has been out, something important to make note of, just because I mentioned a certain indicator under a specific type of abuse does not necessarily mean that that sign fits only that type of abuse. A lot of these signs intertwine with one another. Many of these signs can be seen in any type of abuse.
When should people who are aware of abuse contact JFC? Is it through CPS? Is it when they notice abuse from inside the family? What does that process look like?
Upon noticing or upon disclosure of abuse, people should always contact the police first. They should request an emergency protection order and request a case number. If they do see physical injuries or if there's been a disclosure from the child of sexual abuse, they need to request that the child have a forensic examination done. Then they should call the CPS in case the authorities have not done so and file a report. And last but not least, they should contact JFC so that we can help them in any way possible.
Do you mind sharing a success story? You know, this is a heavy topic, so I would love to hear a success story of Justice for Children.
Hi, this is Gabby. I am a child advocate. So a couple of weeks ago, mom called in regarding sexual abuse allegations against the dad towards her 7-year-old son. After I reviewed the documents, I reached out to the therapist. The therapist revealed that she has serious concerns if father is granted unsupervised visits. She agreed to testify if the case goes to court. I followed up with the mother and advised her that she should get her attorney to subpoena the parties of the case who are willing to advocate for the child. There is now an upcoming court date in September, and everyone who is advocating for a child is going to fight for this child to stay protected. And here's another success story by my coworker, Angela.
Hello, this is Angela again. Success story that I had recently was a father who called in with concerns of his 3-year-old son that had a developmental and speech delay. The father noticed that when the son returned from visitations with the mother, he would have marks and bruises on him. When the father would ask the mother what happened, the mother would say that the child hurt himself while playing. CPS was notified, but due to the speech delay of the child, he was able to provide only limited information, and CPS felt like the bruising was not enough concern for them to investigate. Therefore, the case was ruled out. With information from the therapist, documentation that was provided by the father, Justice for Children was able to share our concerns with the court. And given the concerns of the professional documentation, the father was awarded full primary custody of his son, with the mother having visitation only 12 days out of the year.
Great job, guys. Great job.
Thank you.
What you guys are doing is so powerful. You know, it really is changing the system that a lot of people have full faith in. And I think you guys take it to the next, you take it to the next step. You go that extra mile to make sure that the child's needs is always first, no matter what's going on, no matter what the parents are saying, what the therapist is saying. You guys are making sure the child is in the best interest at all times. And I cannot thank you enough, because Tim and I talked about this and we're like, this is a heavy topic. You know, I don't know if this is something that everyone will be able to relate to, but there's always going to be a happy ending with what we're doing. You know, we're spreading positivity. We're spreading what you guys are doing. So it is positive stuff. And I'm glad that you guys are able to share that success story with us. How can people get involved with you guys? What can they do?
Okay. Thanks for asking. This is Gabby. So we have volunteer opportunities that include legal services, advocacy, court watch, and clerical activities. We also currently have postings on Connect Kindness and Volunteer Match. We can also be reached at 713-225-4357 or by emailing info@justiceforchildren.org. Again, that's 713-225-4357 or email info@justiceforchildren.org.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for spending some time today on the podcast. I have two young boys, and just hearing these stories, it gets a little emotional. So I just appreciate what you guys are doing for our children, our future. Again, if anyone is listening to this, please go to justiceforchildren.org and see how you can help out and make a difference. Thank you for being on Connect Kindness. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.